Continuing on our study of evangelism, today we're going to talk about fear, overcoming the fear of doing evangelism. A couple of weeks ago we talked about that whenever evangelism does not occur, usually the root of the problem is either a lack of motivation or in some cases improper motivation. Coming after a lack of motivation, a major reason why more people do not engage in personal evangelism is the fear of rejection. Afraid of being turned down, laughed at, or looked upon by others as religious fanatics or Bible thumpers has hindered many Christians in their efforts to tell others about Christ. So how does someone overcome the fear of rejection? First of all, we try to please God and not man. If we are serious in our desire to be the servants of Christ, then we must make sure it is God we are trying to please and not man. We should be more concerned about what God thinks rather than what people may think. And another principle is pray for boldness. And we'll stop after every section or two if you have any questions. Pray for boldness. Paul wrote about his own fears when it came to sharing the gospel with others, but he believed in the power of prayer to provide boldness and ask others to pray for him. When Peter and John had been threatened, the Lord answered their prayer for boldness in Acts 4. So as we prepare ourselves to engage in personal evangelism, if we find ourselves lacking courage, then let our preparation include diligent prayer for boldness. Even as you walk up to the door, approach someone you plan to invite to services or to offer a Bible study, say a short prayer asking God to give you the boldness necessary to say what you have planned to say. Any questions so far or comments? Brent Hunter, in his publication, Personal Work 101, lists three different steps in building courage to tell others about Christ. This comes from his website. If you want to check it out, you can see me after class. I'll give you the website. It's a long link type of thing, or I can email it to you. But his first step, step one, start out sharing Christ in a way which will not bring you face to face with people. Select some printed material you feel are good and carry them in your pocket, purse, or car. When you go into a public restaurant, leave it on the table with your tip. Include it in the envelope when you write in friends or relatives, and even when you're paying your bills. You never know a real person actually opens those bills. Leave material at a laundromat or on the seat of an Uber or Lyft car, etc., etc. So what happens to the material should not concern you. You've sown the seed, like we talked about last week, and done what you are supposed to do. And I told you I would show you some examples of things you can do. Leroy, you got good eyes?
Yeah.
What does that say? What's the logo on that say?
That's the logo?
Yeah.
Emmanuel.
Can you read the bottom line? It's real small. He's looking at a writing pen, what he's looking at.
There's only a website on here.
Yeah, what's the website?
www.ebccrestview.com.
Okay, you can't read that bottom line. It's from Emmanuel Baptist Church in Crestview, and it's a writing pen.
There's nothing else on here.
Yeah, it is. You just have to, under Emmanuel, it's real small.
And the website is on this.
Okay. Guess where I picked up that pen at?
Eye doctor.
Eye doctor. Yeah. That would have been good. Did I wear it out? Anybody else want to guess where I picked that up from?
Bank?
Nope. Auditorium. Our auditorium. Yeah. Someone has been here and left it in the one of the writing pen holders. Okay? So, even that happens. I didn't steal it. It came from the auditorium. Other things you can do. I remember a couple weeks ago, a mutual friend of mine, Kathy Annas, was here. She was talking about cards that they leave out. She gave me a couple of samples. One of them is a picture of her family. And it says, thank you for your good service. She leaves this in restaurants when they leave their tip. And on the back of it, just simple writing, we're members of the Airport Church of Christ at 2267 Copeland Road here in Valdosta. And we'd like to invite you to come study the Bible and worship the Lord with us. And it gives their name. And that's all it says. Another thing they use that she gave me is a more generic thing. It says, come sit with me, my name blank, my number blank, and then the logo of the church. And on the back is the five steps of salvation that we use. Yes, ma'am.
She told me that, or she told some of us, that she left that one time, and the waitress asked them to pray for her.
Yeah.
And they prayed right there.
So right. And that's what she said. She mentioned that in class, that before they pray over the meals, they'll ask the servers anything we can pray for. Y'all remember these things? Destined Church of Christ, we appreciate your service, how we may serve you. We used to pass these out. It's got Russ's and Kevin Bates' name on them, but everything else is still the same. And if you want some, Betsy has two boxes of them still. And then we have just a regular business card that we used to give out. So this is a way you can actually, without, you know, really doing much face-to-face, it's more of a more indirect way of getting the word out, or at least an invitation out. There's a ministry called Living Waters. It's one of the head of it is a Ray Comfort. What's his name? Ray Comfort. He does some of the man on the street kind of interviews. Here's a $1 million bill, and on the back is basically it says, "Will you go to heaven when you die?" And then he goes into a long little spiel. This is not Church of Christ, so you have to be careful. But it's just some ideas that we could take and use. He has a whole pack of stuff they use. One of them is looks like a wallet with money sticking out, and inside of it looks like credit cards. And then you open it up, and it goes into a little spiel. So a lot of things you can do, and I should say we can do, to do a kind of indirect way of getting the word out. So any questions or comments about any of those? Step 2, let your light shine naturally when around non-Christians. Do not make a spectacle of yourself, but quietly confess through your actions and normal speech that you are a Christian. There's a difference between doing things to be seen of men, which is condemned by Jesus, and doing things that are seen by men, which is commanded by Jesus. Some examples: when you eat in public places, silently with a bowed head, offer thanks for your food. Keep a Bible with you at all times. Don't be ashamed to be seen reading it. In our conversation, casually make mention of things which indicate your faith in God. We talked about in the prayer class that when you talk to someone and you say, "I will pray for you," you pray for them. Keep that promise to them. Step 3, personally hand your friend or suspect, however you want to say it, a brochure, booklet, CD, or DVD. You are not directly teaching yet. Only use an indirect teaching methods, but you are beginning to face people. Give a tract to a friend and say, "This is a short explanation of the gospel. We've been friends for a long time. I'd like for you to read this and tell me what you think." Ask them if they are interested in studying the Bible in their own time, at their own place, in their home, through a correspondence course, or offer to give them a CD or DVD of a sermon. As most of you probably know, we do record our sermons, both video and audio. So if they don't want a DVD, if they don't want to look at Todd, they can at least listen to him. And if you'll let Betsy know, we can get copies of any sermon going back, I think, to Stan Williams. I know there's some set tapes of Stan still up there. So usually any in between. So some examples you want to know about. These come from the Fortune Road Church of Christ in Kissimmee, Florida. One of the preachers there is, Mark Copeland. Anybody know Mark Copeland? he has several, and he just emailed these, so they're just printed on regular paper, but you'd want to do them on nice brochure-type paper. He has several, and I just printed out a few of them. One of them is, interested in learning more about the Bible, Jesus, and his church? How about a home Bible study? And it goes into different things. And then at the bottom, it has his contact information. Another one is, this is your invitation from the Fortune Road Church of Christ. And another one, stressed, depressed, burdened with guilt, please consider a Savior's invitation. And this is just something you can go up to somebody without too much threat, explanation, threat,
angst,
whatever you want to call it, and just give it to them.
One thing I think that is a financial advantage for this church, people that go here, when we're trying to talk to others,
mm-hmm.
is the whole medical clinic.
Right.
For example, this week we had some workers at our home. Linda was there, and this young man who was very concerned about spiritual things and wanted to know if she knew the Lord and all this, and you know, the one thing led to another, and they talked about other things. He may wind up going to Lipscomb of all things after the whole discussion.
Yeah.
Because he didn't like the school he was in. But it turns out he was a patient.
Oh, okay.
Of Hope Medical. Or he is.
Yeah, yeah.
Medical. When he found out about that, that even increased his desire to know more about it. So I think it's a good...
Yeah, it's a good lead-in,
sort of. It's a good lead-in. It's an easy one.
Yeah.
If you're talking about,
yeah.
You know, have you heard of our Hope Medical?
Right, absolutely, yeah. And that was, and we talked about this one week, that was not the main reason, but that was one reason we started Hope, was to help people and get them interested, you know, in studying. Yes, sir.
I lived in San Antonio. We had a class on evangelism, and our teacher gave us a homework. We had to go and ask, I think it was three people, what do you think happens to a person when they die?
Mm-hmm.
And so, and this was supposed to lead into more questions.
Yeah.
And there was other things you follow up with.
Yeah.
Well, I waited until the last minute to do my homework. And wasn't sure how I was going to finish getting my third person. And on the Wednesday, we were going to have a class that night. I thought, man, I got to find somebody to ask this question. So I just prayed that God would lead me to someone. And somebody knocked on the door. This is a very true story. Somebody knocked on the door and was selling water purifiers.
Yeah.
And I thought, well, this might be, he might want to get purified. I thought maybe it was a sign. So
yeah.
He was talking to me at the door, and I said, yeah, come on in. I thought, man, this guy's, I got to figure out how to ask him this question. And he was talking about how bad that water was.
Yeah.
I said, well, you know, that water, as bad as it is, it could kill somebody. And he said, yeah, good. I said, well, what do you think happens to a person when they die?
There you go. Yeah.
And this is honest God. He said everything down. He says, I've been really wondering about that.
Yeah.
And he said, well, if you could be sure that you'd go to heaven, would you be interested in studying about it? He said, yeah. And this is true. I studied with him right there. He decided to get baptized that day.
Yeah.
And I took him over. To
you never know. Did you get an extra star or something in class that night?
Oh, I don't remember. I just remembered it was just really exciting. Now, he never came to church. Never saw him after that. But he said he went to another denomination.
Yeah.
So he said he was going to just start back going there.
Yeah.
But,
well, that's the big sale. A lot of purified water for the bathroom.
Did you buy any?
No, I didn't.
Buy water for purifier.
Another thing you can use, is anyone familiar with the book Muscle and a Shovel? This is like the hot thing a couple years ago and still is to some degree. Have you read it?
I've read
most of it.
Marie gave it to me.
Okay.
Karen.
Okay.
And go ahead, I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. The elders are leaving. I didn't know if something I said.
They got a good copy of the book.
Is that it? This book is written by Michael Shank. And it's the story of him and his wife, how they were converted. And it's written in first person. And I think over a million, I think the website says they've sold over 1 million copies. My dad kind of used it. He bought them by the case and would just give them out to folks. So I've read the book. It's a good book. And it basically starts with Michael at his workplace being befriended by a member of the Church of Christ. And it takes him through the process of how the friendship developed, and then later on a Bible study developed, and then, of course, him and his wife were saved. So this is a good way of just handing a friend a book. You know, would you like to read the book and then talk about it later? So just some example. I cannot buy 40 copies. I'm not like Jim. I can't buy 40 copies and give this out. But it's all on your resource page on the back. This book right now is on sale. It's regular $25.95, and Michael on his website is selling it for $10.95. So, you know, if you want to go that route. So, in conclusion, at this point, you are actively involved in sharing the gospel with others. Even though you may only use indirect methods from here, you may decide to try to set up home studies to be taught by yourself or to set up studies for others to teach. In either case, you are doing much for the Lord. Any questions or comments about sort of breaking the ice? What you would say?
Lynn.
Yes, ma'am.
We had in Tulsa at Park Plaza years ago, we had a evangelism thing where we went, like we did here at this church, we went door to door, knocked on doors. And there was a paperback Bible out at the time where you go in to study with somebody, or you even knock on their door and ask them. Well, you know, they get embarrassed. They don't know Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. They don't know where to go. And some of those books, I don't know where to go to get to them.
Yeah.
But literally, it told you on the front cover how you do this and what the first sentence you say to them.
Yeah.
And then you would say, turn to page 378. You didn't say.
Right, right.
You said page 378. And they turned to it.
Yeah.
And then when you finish that verse, it told you what page to turn to
next.
That.
Yeah.
We had a lot of success.
Yeah. And the reason is, and we'll talk about it here in a minute, is they're doing the reading. You're not doing the reading. They're reading it themselves.
Right. And they're not, as I say, they weren't having to find that.
Yeah.
And they would even say that when we left.
Yeah.
A lot of people have approached them, they say, about reading the Bible, and they had no idea where to start.
What yeah.
To do.
Yeah.
They would get bored before they read all of that particular book.
Yeah.
To get to that one verse.
You're right.
So there was a lot of success now.
Yeah, there's a lot of tools, and I've got a few, but I don't have them all. So I just kind of pick some of the popular ones, ones most used.
Well, Luke was talking to a guy last night at our homeowners meeting, and they're from Canada, and they're down here 3 months out of the year, and he said, well, there's a preacher next door. He's also from Canada.
Hmm.
And he said, and they have a men's Bible study if you want to come and go with me at 7:30. He said 7:30 on Thursday morning. And
I thought ours at 8:00 on Tuesday was bad enough. So.
So, but I mean, that was at least we've got a fellow Canadian that preaches next door. And, so that's sometimes it's just something that little.
Yeah. Don't take much sometimes.
They don't say me either. They just say, hey.
Yeah. Dwayne.
I was ready to talk about what to say to people.
Uh-huh.
I asked a friend of mine, and he's just full-time evangelist. And he doesn't have to do a lot of reading. It's like he can read it to you without looking down.
Yeah.
But I asked him one day, I was like, well, what do you say to somebody to get by? He goes, oh, that's easy. You just, when you meet them, say, how are you in the Lord doing today?
Yeah, yeah.
And that's how, what he does.
Yeah, so don't take much. Say, yeah.
What? Or great, or I don't know. Whatever they answer, he's got to.
Kind of goes with it, yeah.
Well, would you like to find out?
Yeah.
Or that's great. Tell me how you met the Lord, and he'll just go right off into it.
Yeah.
Next thing there's a Bible study going on.
There you go, yeah. It takes salesmanship to some degree.
Yeah. And you got to be ready. I mean, he's prepared.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
He's got the answers.
Yeah. And as a teacher, you learn more than the students. You've got to know more than the students.
Brad Bynum's dad, Clyde Bynum, I don't know if any of y'all knew him, but he used to ask people, how's your conduct?
Oh, really?
He'd just come up to you and say, how's your conduct? It's scary.
Conduct.
Conduct.
Yeah.
Then where did he go from there?
Well, he waited to get an answer, and then I guess...
Gave you help on getting it better?
Okay. Principles for teaching in evangelism. Now we're going to actually put some rubber to the road. Should you decide you are ready to begin teaching others, have an idea of what material and method, either a one lesson study or a multiple lesson study you plan to use. There are several principles to keep in mind that can increase the likelihood of success. For example, be class conscious, and we're not talking about a socioeconomic class. Rather than getting into religious discussions when it's not convenient, such as at work, always think in terms of turning religious inquiries into an opportunity to set up a class or home study with the person. Some advantages of doing this are those who are not seriously interested in spiritual matters will not consent to a study. It gives you time to carefully prepare for your lessons, so you don't have to really, you know, have everything around the tip of your tongue. A discussion of religious matters is more productive when there is ample time and the Bible is open to answer any questions, and there would be fewer hindrances should the person decide to obey the gospel. How do you set up a class or study with someone? As we've been talking about, you basically just ask. If the person says no, then you just leave it open for an open invitation for some time in the future. Seek first to understand, then to be understood. This principle is key to any effective communication, whether it occurs in business, family relations, or religious discussions. When applied to teaching others, it would involve to ask questions, then listen carefully to what the other person is saying. Occasionally repeat what they say to make sure you properly understand them. Attempt to know their own doctrine as well, if not better, than they do themselves. Why would this be good? Why would it be good to know where they're coming from, so to speak?
So you're going to know what they're, how they are, the filter they are hearing what you're saying.
Exactly. And where they're coming from, what they've, most, a lot of them have been raised with. And why do you want to do that, you ask? Because it helps you in knowing some of the questions they're going to ask you. Y'all bear with me here. I don't say go out and buy a book on every religion, but as I go around the thrift stores and yard sales, I buy a book. Here's one on the Baptist Church, their history. Here's one on United Methodist beliefs. All these only pay like 25 cents for, so it's not like I got a big investment. Here's one on Reformed theology, the Presbyterians and Lutherans theology that they use. So I can, and you know, it's good to know, but it's also, is it good to know some of the things they're going to ask you about the Church of Christ? I'm getting some heads. Yeah. Here's a very disturbing book that I would not recommend just anybody reading. This one is actually free at a yard sale, and I grabbed it before anybody else could. But The Truth About the Church of Christ, written in 1977 by a Baptist preacher. And he tears us apart. And he gives scriptures for tearing us apart. So it's very challenging, put it like that. Now, I'm not saying that I believe what he's saying, but it does open your eyes on what other people are thinking about us. So, any questions or comments?
Often when I try to talk to people and I need help and
stuff,
I ask them to tell me their story.
Yeah. They like talk about themselves.
About what's happened to them in their life.
Mm-hmm.
And I found that very encouraging. They tell me a story. And a lot of times they go, what do you mean?
Yeah.
Well, just tell me about what's going on in your life.
Yeah.
Where you are today. How'd you get here?
Right.
And it really opens doors because it's, to me, like Kyle was preaching today, love is the key to all this. People are looking for love.
Yeah.
And the scriptures is very clear that God is love. So we can get that across to people by communicating with them and willing to share our love. We can teach people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we just got to show them that we're interested. Yeah. That's an interview tactic that you use when you're first talking to someone. You know, tell me about yourself. You know, tell me about your life. How was you raised? And that sort of thing. Zach and Todd and I were in a phone interview the other day with someone, and that was the first question we asked. Tell us about yourself. And it was very enlightening, this way what this guy was talking about. So, and it gave us some knowledge of where he was coming from or had come from.
If you don't know anything about him and you start trying to talk to him, there's a good chance you will offend him and put them off.
Yeah.
And you need to start out where you know him well enough to know where
you can start. Yeah. You don't just walk up to someone on the street corner and ask them that, but they know you're trying to have a relationship with them at some point. So.
At one time we were someone asked us a question, and they said, why is there only going to be 144,000 saved? And we kind of looked at her and said, how did you hear about that?
Yeah.
Because she was being, the Mormons were coming to...
That's Jehovah's Witness.
Jehovah's Witness,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Coming to her home and trying to teach her.
Oh, so she wanted to know how to answer their question.
Well, I think she was really wondering why, just that.
Oh, okay.
Much number, but we did study with her. And she was baptized. She was a Catholic. And when we heard some people had gone back to that area where we were, that she brought her family, her grandchildren, and they're all attending now a church where before none of them were.
Yeah.
In the church.
Yeah. Someone had their hand up over here.
I did, but I forgot what
it was. Oh, okay. Moving on. Our next principle, disagree without being disagreeable. People will frequently disagree with you, though some may later change their minds. So how can we disagree without being disagreeable? Maintain a spirit of gentleness and humility. Remember, without the grace of God, we would be lost too. Refuse to be drawn into religious quarrels. If a discussion degenerates into one, admit your own faults and suggest the study continue at another time. Don't try to teach until you are able to teach. Be patient. Some people take longer than others. And if it's necessary to correct someone who opposes you, do so with humility. Remember the wisdom of Solomon in Proverbs 15:1-2 and maintain patience and humility. Does anyone know Proverbs 15:1-2 enough to quote it? It is. A gentle answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Answer questions by letting inquirers read it for themselves. And this is what Linda was talking about. When people ask questions, it is best to answer them with the scriptures. Have them read it out of their own Bibles. There are several reasons for doing so. They are more likely to understand the point you are trying to make if they can both read and hear it. It is hard for them to disagree. Oh, you have them read it out loud. That's the point. Because even when you're reading out loud just to yourself, you'll retain it better, they say. I said they say, I didn't say I say. It is hard for them to disagree with what they can read for themselves in their own Bible and to gain their respect and confidence that you are only teaching the Word of God and not the ideas of men. So as often as possible, let them answer their own questions by having them read it for themselves. So you want some tools to be able to teach. Once you start teaching, you want to know what's available. And there are others, but I have three or four here. We've talked about earlier about the Jewel Miller film strips. Anybody remember those? The good old days?
They used that on me.
Yeah. I went out with my dad many times growing up and helped turn the slide.
Ding.
Yeah. They have transferred that to DVD now, so it is available on DVD for $170. But they have also made them into booklets, 5 different booklets for each film strip, so to speak.
They had those before.
Yeah, they did. not as popular as the film strip, though. These are like $1.99 each, or the whole set is $7. And basically what they do is, if you're familiar with the film strips, the artwork is about the same. But they have like pictures of the different film strips and the words, the text of the what the audio would say. And then a little question that after each slide. And then at the end, is that our teens back there?
You're bumping out. Come on back in your
eyes. Oh, sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, well. Blame it on somebody. In the back, they have a little true and false Q&A, and it gives the question and the page in the booklet that you turn to get the answer. So sort of like your Bible does, but it's like that. And like I said, I have one for the patriarchal age, Mosaic age, Christian age, redeeming man, and history of the Lord's church. Those are available. Ones that my mom and dad really like, and I think y'all have used this, is the Open Bible Study. Anybody familiar with Open Bible Study? This is a three-lesson setup, and it's 20 questions. All it is 20 questions, yes and no, and it asks the questions. It gives you the Bible reference. You do have to know where to turn. And you just answer yes or no. And you get to the 20th question on this lesson, and you say, okay, when can we meet back? And you come back again and do lessons 2 and then 3. And my mom is studying with a lady right now using the Open Bible Study. So these are available. Oh, these are 50 cents for the whole set. And there's a little worksheet thing that goes with it. That's 50 cents for all of that. So those two examples. And there's probably others. I'm just not familiar with them. And some of them, World Bible School, which is known for their Bible correspondence, actually have those online now. So you can send somebody to their website, and they can do it either in a printed form or directly online. So any questions or comments? Yes, sir.
I was just going to say, you know, it's worth your investment, I think, to buy several Bibles that are all the same. So that
yes.
Yeah,
that does. If you don't go with this route, at least you can tell them what page to turn to. Yeah. So, other principles: use difficult questions to set up future studies. Many people fear that they will be asked a question they do not know the answer, but such questions can be advantageous if handled properly. Don't try to bluff it. If you don't know the answer, admit it. You say, "I don't know it." Let me come back to you at a future date and we'll study that together. And use that difficult question as a reason to continue the study. What might at first appear to be a stumbling block to a teacher can actually be a stepping stone for increased opportunities. And the close, effectively, after you've presented the material in your lesson or lessons, you need to ask for the response. This can often be the most difficult part of the teaching. Now you are asking the person to make a judgment about the truthfulness of what you have been saying and to make a decision as to whether they will obey it. To close effectively, you might ask the person some of these questions. Does this make sense? Is there anything I've said that you do not understand? And have I been teaching you anything other than what the Bible teaches? And assuming the person answers favorably, you then need to make the actual request. Some approaches often sound like subtle ways to move someone to do something they really don't want to do. But since conversion occurs only with our faith and work into cooperation in God's power, it is absolutely necessary that the prospect has truly come to faith and repentance before they are baptized. 5-minute warning. Therefore, a simple and direct question is all that is necessary. Here's one. Would you like to obey Christ now and be baptized for the remission of your sins? If the person says no, you might ask, why not? And depending upon their answer, set up a time for a future study. Remember that you sow today, what you sow today may take time before it finally brings forth a harvest. What do you, Bob and Pat, when y'all were with someone, what's your closing question or statement? Pretty much that?
Pretty much that.
Okay. Anybody use something different?
What was the question?
What question do you ask them to get them to make a commitment? Or
to get baptized?
Yeah. How do you, it's kind of like a salesman would call a close. You know, what's your closing, what close do you use to get them to tell you what they want? Teresa? Asked you? So like the Ethiopian eunuch? Hopefully. She says, hopefully, you've studied enough with them that they asked you, what do I need to do? So like the Ethiopian eunuch. Dwayne?
That study I would use, if they're talking about the Bible, you know, it just tells you what page to turn to.
Yeah.
But at the very end of it, they read a scripture where it says, what are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away your sins. They read that, and you just sit there. Really, let the Spirit work.
Yeah.
You know, and so you're not asking them, you know. It's really God's asking. You've done this study.
Mm-hmm.
You know who Jesus is, what he's done for you.
Mm-hmm.
What are you waiting for?
Yeah.
And some people will look at that, and they might ask you something about it. But a lot of times, they'll make that decision right there.
Yeah. It's a lot better when they kind of ask you what they need to do. They see it themselves. So overcoming objections. While we should prepare and be ready and willing to answer objections that are commonly given, we need to be careful and not apply undue pressure. While we want to encourage others to obey the gospel, we must make sure that the decision is theirs. So be careful to let the gospel of Christ be the converting power, not persuasive words of human wisdom. If a person understands what the gospel says, a simple request accompanied with an earnest plea for obedience to Jesus Christ should suffice. Any questions? Comments? Yes, ma'am.
I just heard something recently about, you know, Moody, that was such a famous preacher, was holding this meeting in Chicago. And as he's preaching that night, he just says, I'm not going to offer the invitation tonight. I want you to think on this a week and, you know, come back and we'll discuss it next week. And then the Chicago fire.
Mm.
Happens that before they come back or that night or whatever. So he said that was one of the biggest regrets of his life, is that he's
putting
it off a week.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes, sir.
One of the things I think you've got to be careful of is sometimes rather than presenting Jesus or the gospel, we try to correct religious error.
Yeah.
And I just think that we have to be careful of that, because some of these studies I've seen seem like they're more focused on correcting religious error than they are on presenting the good news,
mm-hmm.
the gospel. And, in fact, I got to the point where I just wanted my own study, and I sat down and made one myself. And I think that if you do that, you can use different sources on what you want to present and just have verses and then questions.
Yeah.
And that's that really.
And I've actually seen some churches have done their own open Bible study, and they did that. They went through and created their own questions and answers.
There's
and
a lot of different sources you can use.
Yeah. I didn't say this was
exhaustive.
Yeah.
We actually, at one church, we took the pink and the yellow and the blue things.
Uh huh.
And I wouldn't say we plagiarized them, because we didn't, but we read them and we determined which ones that we think were most relevant, because there were things in that were pretty corrective.
Yeah.
And really said, you know, we don't like this one, and we don't like this one, and this one, and sort of rewrote our
That's what I said. Our churches have done that, using the concept.
Yeah, but it's like a half penny of coffee.
Wayne has got a good study, though, too.
Yes, sir.
Something I was taught, I felt like was relevant, I wanted to share.
Certainly.
And I believe today is that, you know, the real truth seekers will present themselves through method of attraction and not promotion.
Mm-hmm.
I think that, you know, when we live our daily lives, it's very important for us to practice what we preach or what we plan on preaching. And that's difficult. You know, there's clear warnings from James about teachers.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing that we are all capable of is sharing our own story. And I feel like today's church, there's a lot of, we carry these labels, sometimes justified, some unjustified, of hypocrisy. And, you know, like we feel like we're better than others. We all are capable of sharing our own story. And when we start by what we were like, when the true seeker comes to us, and we've made sure that we're ready because we prayed to be ready, when we share what we were like before, that'll take down the walls of, you know, what we're sharing, coming from a place of feeling like we're better. Like, we're Christians, you know? Smile. Here's a pamphlet. Mm-hmm. Don't you wish you were like us? The world don't want that. Mm-hmm. And if we tell them our story, then we tell them what happened. And that's our opportunity to share our own experience with Jesus Christ and the gospel.
And we've talked about previous weeks about humility. You have to be humble to do personal evangelism.
Right. And then afterwards, you know, we can explain what we're like now.
Yeah.
That way we're not making promises for them in their walk.
Right.
Because everyone's walk is different.
Right.
And God's plan.
And it won't be an easy walk either.
But if we continue to, you know, try to show God through in the saving grace of Jesus Christ through our actions, through attraction, then we don't have to just, you know, we won't have the door slammed in our face. We won't be so rejected. We'll be able, and it'll warm us up, and we can share, you know, the people that we're trying to be with those that are closest to us, those at work, even in our own homes.
Exactly, yeah.
And so I just, that point that you had in the paper, you know, about don't teach until you're ready to teach, you know, that is important scripture. But we are able to share our own story.
We are.
Yeah.
It's called testimony.
There you go, being a witness.
Yeah,
right?
Be a witness, yep. I've given you a graphic I saw that I thought was good. You said something? You want to say something? Okay. How to come out of the kind of how to come out of what happens when you step out of your comfort zone. And this is true in personal evangelism or personal life or business or school, whatever. Just, you know, dealing with people. If you come out of your comfort zone, there is that fear zone. You have, you know, there is that risk of lack of confidence and finding excuses and whatever. But one thing I want you to realize, before we can learn and before we can grow, we have to work through that fear zone. So, you know, just because you have that fear of knocking on that door or talking to that person at work or whatever, if you can work yourself through that, then you can progress on and do a lot of good work, good deeds. Two other things. That's on your resource page. These are more or less like manuals on how to do evangelism. This is Evangelism Explosions. Anyone ever heard of this or familiar with this? This was written by D. James Kennedy, who's a Presbyterian preacher. He's dead now, down in Fort Lauderdale. This is one that a lot of the Presbyterian churches use. And it's basically what they call on-the-job training. After you learn some of the scriptures and kind of what they're going to talk about, then you actually go out with someone and work with them and kind of knock on doors together. There's two main questions that the Evangelism Explosion people ask. Have you come to a place in your spiritual life where you know for certain you have eternal life, and is that something you would say you're still working on? And then after you discuss that question, then they go to their big question, which is this, and it's sort of what Wayne was talking about. Suppose you were to die tonight and stand before God, and He were to ask you, why should I let you into heaven? What would you say? And that's how they get things started. Another one, by the way, like I said, this is not Church of Christ, but it's a very good manual. This is Church of Christ. This was put out by the Heart to Heart, House to House people in Jacksonville, Alabama, the Jacksonville Church of Christ. And this talks about basically how to become a personal worker, how to get the set up the appointment, how to conduct the study, how to close it. I mean, it's kind of like a reference.
Is that Ivan Stewart?
This is Ivan Stewart. He also did the open book, the open Bible. He also did this. So yeah, this is put out by Ivan Stewart. So, has anybody ever read this one? Y'all have? Wayne has? All of these are on the back page, on your resource page, the website, so you can go look them up and. It is fairly old, but it still works. You know.
One of the things he does point out is that for people who make a projection, sometimes we're afraid of that, but those are actually the better soil.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. I need one more minute before we're dismissed. This was supposed to be the last lesson for the evangelism class in the next 2 weeks before the new quarter, before Gary takes over. It's going to be something different, but I made an executive decision this week, and we're going to do two more classes on evangelism, and we're going to talk about the unchurched. And you say, who are the unchurched? These are people who have not attended a religious service in the past 6 months. Okay, some of them have been to church and quit coming, and some of them have never been to a church other than a wedding or a funeral. And this, we're going to look at a survey that was taken a couple of years ago by 2,000 people. And some of the questions, this is not the entire list, but some of the questions are, when someone wants to talk about the religious beliefs, how do you respond? This is talking to the unchurched person. What would make you more interested in listening to what Christians had to say? How likely are you to attend church regularly sometime in the future? And how often do you wonder, if I were to die today, do I know for sure that I would go to heaven? Those are just some of the questions that were asked of these 2,000 people, and we're going to look at their answers. The second week, if nothing changes, we'll look at shattering myths about reaching the unchurched. This is a different survey, but from the same people. And that started coming to church, and they went to them and said, what led you to start coming to church? What led you to start coming back to church if they'd not been coming for a while? And the answers will surprise you. It's not probably, some of the answers are not what you think they are. So that's the next 2 weeks. For you visitors, all these classes have been recorded. You can go to that destinycofc.com website and get both the handouts and the listen to the audios. So hopefully next week's will be recorded too. Any final questions or comments on what we've talked about? Jim? The class is .com. If you go to .org, that's the church site. But if you go to .com, it's recordings for the class. Thank you for your comments. Everyone have a great week. Button up. It'll be cold Tuesday night.
Don't forget the Camp Fire Fellowship this afternoon.